Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to a brand new month. It's April here at Basic Gospel. Glad you're with us. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, give us a call right now. 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Well, Bob and I are just back from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Anaheim, there in the Los Angeles area. And as we do most years, we met with some of our longtime and new radio and internet partners, people that make airtime and otherwise support our efforts to get this new covenant message out as far and wide as possible. And Bob, I know you agree that it was great to see those vital people firmly committed to helping Basic Gospel do just that.
Yes, indeed. It was a wonderful time, a real shot of encouragement. Yeah. They really like Basic Gospel.
They do.
And it really stands out in the media world today. There are a lot of radio programs that talk about Jesus and talk about the Word of God, but very few that focus on the gospel and how it's relevant in our day-to-day lives. One guy said, "Hey, you're unique." And I said, "Thanks. That's a compliment in some ways, but it's a sad commentary."
Yes.
We shouldn't be unique in the marketplace as far as a commitment to proclaiming and lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. He is the answer to the heart needs of every single human being. That's why he proclaims himself as the great I am. Mm-hmm. He is everything that we need right now at this present moment. So we had a wonderful time, lots of great opportunities, and opportunities to spread this good news.
Indeed.
To
yeah.
be that unique voice that delivers the simplicity of God's grace and truth both to the mind and to the heart. And
yeah.
when that happens, change occurs. New life is given, rest is experienced by faith in Jesus' finished work on the cross. There's hope. There's all sorts of things that take place that really address those spiritual needs of mankind. And with those opportunities, of course, there are costs. And boy, we could be everywhere, you know, on every single station if we just had the money to do it.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
That's why we're asking for your support to invest in the good news of Jesus Christ, to invest in the gospel, to lift up the name of Jesus with us so that people can truly hear, believe, and live this good news in their day-to-day lives.
Indeed.
So yep. we did have a great time at NRB. As we enter into this new month, the month of April, we're going to turn our eyes upon the gospel story again, the death, the burial, and mm-hmm. resurrection of Jesus Christ, to look at how it was unfolding before the apostles and the disciples' eyes, what they were understanding at the time, and how that event changed everything. Mm-hmm. And so today we want to start in Matthew chapter 17. And this is a story that takes place after the transfiguration. So Jesus had been up to Caesarea Philippi with his disciples. He asked them the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter stood up and he said with confidence and boldness, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "You've answered correctly. And this is information that was revealed to you by my Father in heaven." So Peter didn't figure it out. It
right.
wasn't a whodunit mystery.
Yeah.
And he knit the clues together and came up with the answer. No, this was revelation. God the Father somehow revealed this truth to Peter. And then Jesus took Peter and James and John up on the mountain, and he was transfigured right before their very eyes. And this voice came from heaven and said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." And Peter talks about that in his second letter, how that confirmed the testimony, God's testimony to him concerning Jesus. And that this wasn't a made-up story, that he became an eyewitness to these facts. And then Jesus gathers with his disciples around the Sea of Galilee, and he said this to them, "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." So there is the gospel story right there. Jesus delivers it, and he says, this is what's going to happen to me. This is the news that's about to occur, and it's good news because at the very end, there is resurrection. On the third day, he was going to be raised from the dead. Now, the disciples, here was their reaction, and they were greatly distressed. Yeah. And I think at this time, all they were hearing is that Jesus was going to be delivered over into the hands of men, and they were going to kill him. That was a distressing thought, a disturbing thought, one that just had them apoplectic over what was about to happen. But they failed to see and failed to understand the real hope of the story, that Jesus was going to be raised on the third day. Resurrection is not something that we can comprehend with our human minds. We cannot figure it out. We would have never gone to that as a solution to death. But that's God's solution. Yeah. He has power over death. He kicked death in the butt by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. But that's something the disciples did not understand at that particular moment. And it wasn't a truth that they really grasped until after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the ascension of Jesus Christ, and the giving of God's Holy Spirit. Yeah. At that moment, they understood both intellectually and experientially that Christ was raised from the dead, and just as he had been raised from the dead, they too had been raised to walk in the newness of life. Resurrection is a God concept. It is a God plan. It needed the power of God to execute, and in Jesus Christ, that plan became true. And because it's true, you and I have hope. And no matter how dark this life gets for us, no matter how grim the circumstance that we're in, the tail end of this story, the fact that Jesus Christ was raised on the third day, is a light that explodes and bursts forth into that darkness and gives us hope and gives us the solution to our deepest need, and that was spiritual death.
And that's the hope that you hear each day on Basic Gospel, everybody, and we're glad you're here for this edition. 844-322-2742, that's the number to dial if you have a question or something you'd like to add to our conversation and our discussion. Give us a call. Again, 844-322-2742. You can call right now. We'd love to hear from you. As for Basic Gospel's need for support, it's no April Fool's joke, friends. It's the real thing. And our hope is that what you hear on this program every day prompts you to stop and take stock of what Jesus Christ has done for you and motivates you to help us move this message forward. Others need to hear that God loves them and has provided a full and abundant life for them, just as he has for you and me. Click donate if you can at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, you can donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. Help us get this message out, friends. Request yours or go online today to basicgospel.net and click donate or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. We'd love to hear from you. Love for you to partner with us. What a question, guys, and Bob from Carol. And the question is, she says, I was wondering, since we're all made in the image of God, doesn't everyone know God but just choose to suppress the truth so they can carry on with their own lifestyles?
Well, not everybody knows God. I think everybody has a sense that God exists. And certainly nature reveals his attributes. We see that in Romans chapter 1. And we can know that God exists. And that's about as far as our human intellect will take us, that God exists. Something in the heart moves us to say, I want to know that God. I want to know what he's like. And when that happens, God reveals himself to us in a personal way in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, there are a lot of people that deny the existence of God, and certainly the Bible says a fool says in his heart, there is no God. But it's the truth of that is all around us. I think you can see a child being born, and you just come away from that with this unbelievable realization that this is of God, that this isn't something that just happened randomly. This isn't something that just came about, happenstance. This had a maker, a creator behind it, bringing it to fruition. As the psalmist says, we're fearfully and wonderfully made by God himself. So, yes, I think we can look out there, and if we will just look at the evidence that God is giving to us about himself, every person on this planet will know that God exists, that there is a God. Now, the only way we're going to get to know that God is have God reveal himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's what he's committed himself to do.
Yeah.
He wants all of us to know him. He wants all to come to repentance and to be saved. And so he wants to make the knowledge of himself known to each and every person in the person of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Now,
Carol
asked about, don't people suppress the truth? And yes, people suppress the truth. That is the work of Satan, to try to keep the knowledge of God hidden from the eyes of men. So he suppresses the truth. And one of the ways that he is trying to suppress the truth today is pitting science against faith, saying that those two cannot coexist. That if you follow the path of science, you have to throw faith out the window. But that's just not the case. And you can see that in the top echelons of the scientific world, because there you will find many scientists who've won all kinds of Nobel Prizes who believe that God exists and believes that whatever they discover in science is going to be more evidence that points to the reality of God. And so we see that happening today. But down below those upper echelons, Satan is doing everything in his power to lift up science and say, that is the answer to every single question that we have. And one day, science is going to discover the origin of this world, and it's going to discover the cure or the solution to death. But science will never be able to answer those two. Those two will remain beyond the reach of science for as long as man exists. Only God is the source, and only God has the power to give life to the dead.
Yeah.
So if we'll just look with our eyes, we'll see that God exists. And then faith says he rewards those who seek him. How does he do that? He rewards us with eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ.
Carol, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And if you have further questions, don't hesitate to reach out. We have an open line for you right now at 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. Glad you've joined us. Again, that phone number, 844-322-2742.
Let's go to Aaron, who's listening to us in Franklin, Texas. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, how you doing today?
We're doing well. What's on your mind?
Great. Well, I got a question. My question is, when John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan and Jesus was walking up, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. What sin was he referring to? Was the sin of spiritual death, the sin of unbelief? I know he didn't say the sin. He said the sin take away the sin of the world. And my question is, what was he referring to? I'm going to get off and listen to the answer.
Well, I think he's just referring to the whole work of Jesus in dealing with the sin issue once and for all. Up until that time, there was the sacrificial system. And that sacrificial system, every year of atonement, was an annual reminder of sins. So it didn't take away sins. It didn't take away the sin problem. And that's how I would categorize this when it says who takes away the sin of the world. He's talking about the sin problem, the fact that sin has separated us from God. So he's removing that barrier So Jesus is dealing with that barrier, taking it away once and for all, giving everyone access to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. So that's what he's dealing with in this particular passage. So he's dealing with the whole sin issue. So when Jesus said it's finished, the whole sin issue was laid to rest. The problem of sin was dealt with. That barrier had been removed, and now the real divine action could take place, and that is the giving of life, spiritual life, to the dead. Does that make sense to you, Aaron?
Makes a whole lot of sense. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, you're so welcome, Aaron. Thanks for your call. Fantastic question, especially at this time of the year.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. Great to hear from you. Friends, you know, in accounting, there's the final number you're looking for. It's the one number that tells the story and gives the final result. As you've heard the term, you've heard it used many times. It's called the bottom line. The book of Revelation has a bottom line, too. And after all the unfounded fear and speculation are weighed and rightly moved into the column labeled insignificant, you arrive at the bottom line for end times. And there you'll find Richard Piper's excellent accounting of that final book of the Bible, the Revelation. We invite you to join Richard in this 8-CD series as he unveils the majesty and splendor of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the series is called Revelation, It's No Mystery. Order your copy today at store.basicgospel.net, or you can call 844-322-2742. Revelation reveals the bottom line, the hope of the gospel, a victorious future secured by the blood of the Lamb Jesus Christ. Again, order this excellent series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, at store.basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Larry, who's listening to us in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, Larry. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys doing today?
You're doing fantastic. What's on your mind?
Well, I was reading the book of Hebrews, and it's a beautiful book, but a very scary book. And there's a verse towards the end where it talks about Esau. You know, Isaac I have loved, and Esau I have hated. And it talks about being sexually immoral. And it says, don't be like Esau, who gave up his birthright for one morsel, and then afterwards wept bitterly and couldn't get it back. And I was just wondering if you guys could clarify that or give any kind of understanding to that in light of grace.
Well, you know, the story is back in Genesis 27. And even before Esau actually gave up his birthright for a bowl of soup, it had already been decreed by God that the older would serve the younger. So when the two were in the womb, God made the decree that Esau was going to serve Jacob. That's just God's decree. That was God's choosing. So God chose Abraham to bless and say to him that through your seed, the world is going to be blessed. That seed was Isaac, and he said to Isaac, through your seed, the world is going to be blessed. And then he carried that forward to Jacob instead of Esau. And that was a choice. That was his purpose. That wasn't saying anything negative about Esau. That was simply just saying, here's my choice as far as who's going to carry this promised seed forward. And then it went to Judah, went through David, all the way down to Jesus Christ. He was that seed that was promised many, many, many years ago. And it's through Jesus the entire world is being blessed today. Gentile nations and the nation of Israel. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, Esau, he was remorseful over that decision of giving up his birthright. And he went to his father and he said, I want you to change your mind in regard to what's been done. I want you to take the blessing away from Jacob and I want you to give it back to me. And so that's what he's saying here, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. So when he went back to Isaac, Isaac said, no, what's been done has been done. And it says, for he found no chance to repent, that he sought it with tears. So he was going back to Isaac begging, please change your mind, repent, change your mind on this. Esau wasn't changing his mind other than the fact he wanted the birthright back. But Isaac said, no, what's been done has been done. So that's kind of the story. And the writer of Hebrews is putting it here saying, don't let a root of bitterness rob you from experiencing the grace of God. And that's what this is all about. There's this grace of God that is available to you in Jesus Christ. Receive that blessing in Jesus Christ. Now, there were many Hebrews that were saying, no, 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 we want to go back to the sacrificial system. We want to go back to the Levitical priesthood. We want to go back to those things. And he's saying, if you do, you're going to miss out on the grace of God. And when you do, a root of bitterness is going to spring up, and it's going to cause trouble inside of you. And Esau is the perfect example of that reality, isn't he?
Oh, okay. So when I first read it, I thought they were talking about sexual immorality and basically saying, you know, you've lost your salvation like Esau.
Well, Esau just rejected his birthright. I mean, for you and me, Larry, once we're saved, right? Once we receive the gift, once we receive the grace of God by faith, we're made new. We're partakers of this new covenant. We not only have tasted the goodness of the Holy Spirit, we've ingested, and he's come to live inside of us with the promise he will never leave us nor forsake us. So once we're saved, Larry, we've been saved completely. And the writer of Hebrews says that in chapter 7, the last verse of chapter, well, not the last verse, but 7:25. Consequently, he saves us to the uttermost, or saves us completely. So there's no way that we can go backwards as far as that is concerned. Once we've gone from death to life, we can never go back to death. Does that make sense? Because the blood of Jesus guarantees it.
That's why it was so confusing to me, because I'm looking at it this way and I'm interpreting it, but then I'm looking at the other part of the Hebrews where it talks about Jesus being one sacrifice for all sin forever, and it talked about him being the high priest and everything, and that's what was so confusing to me.
Yeah, so Larry, I think you take some of these warnings, and you have to realize that there were people sitting on the fence, and he's trying to encourage them to jump off the fence and receive the gift of Jesus Christ, and to rest in his finished sacrifice, his once for all sacrifice. And he's using some of these examples from the Old Testament to say, hey, see what happened to those who didn't combine the message with faith. A root of bitterness grew up in them, and they missed out on the grace of God. So that's the real story here. Larry, you haven't missed out on the grace of God. You've received it in full. It has been lavished upon you in the person and work of Jesus Christ. You can rejoice every single minute, every single day of your life that you have been saved, and saved completely. And that's good news, that's good news, my friend.
Yeah, thank you, Larry. Great to hear from you, brother. I want to remind you, friends, that we're streaming live video every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Central Time on Facebook and YouTube. We'd like for you to be a part of that growing number. And friends, also, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. A quick reminder that as you click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal to make your gift, you're helping to make Basic Gospel possible every day to proclaim the truth of God's grace in Jesus Christ. To help, just click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. We need you to partner with us in this greatest message the world will ever know. Make your gift now if you can. Again, at basicgospel.net, just click donate or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. We would love for you to partner with us. Keep in mind, too, that our listener line is always open to serve you, our Basic Gospel listeners. Got a question? Leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742, that number available 24 hours a day. Or you can drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.